When Jesus was born, that brought hope into the world. In other words, no matter what's going on here, the future looks really, really good. And we've been looking at this over a little bit, and just today we're going to talk about that when Jesus comes in the world, when Jesus comes in our life, when Jesus is a part of our life, it actually brings a positive perception in our life. You know, there's so many things in life that can really depress us. So many things in our life that can really just discourage us. And we need something that will give us some hope. We need something that will put a, I don't want to say positive spin, because that means that it's going to slow down and stop, but something that can get us to be able to begin to hope for the future. I have a good friend named David Chittenden. David is a pastor in Flint. And David was diagnosed with ALS. If you're not familiar what ALS is, let me tell you what it is. It is the technical term, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. It's known as Lou Gehrig's disease. It is basically muscles begin to deteriorate. There is no cure. The only thing they can do is give him some medication that might prolong his life for maybe 3 to 6 months. He has 3 years, 1,000 days. That's it. He was diagnosed last January around this time. He pastors, continues to pastor. At first, you'd look at him, and this is exactly how he looks right now, he and his wife, Vicky. But as you begin to see, you can see his hand. His right hand is a whole lot thinner than his left hand. He's losing all of his muscle on his right side, beginning to slur just a little bit of speech. And he's gone through some really difficult times in his life. His son was killed a couple, 3 years ago on an ATV accident. He has another son that's been having some difficulties. His wife was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago. He just had like bombarding things. I hosted a pastor's meeting here in our church back in December. And Amy Palmer came and spoke at that, did an excellent job, one of our local people. And I was thinking of somebody for the Thanksgiving to actually share a Thanksgiving message. And David is such a positive person, he's the one I picked out of everybody. And let me read you what he wrote. And the reason why I say this is because he's going through a rough time, but he always has a positive attitude. He always has a joke to tell. And this is what he wrote the day he was diagnosed with ALS. He said, it was not, and I got this off of his blog, it was not totally unexpected what the doctor said when they came back into the room. I already had a heartfelt peace for whatever they said. This verse comes to mind whenever I come to a day that I anticipate may be a harder day than most. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. Trust in God. Whatever he has for our lives includes every day, including today. As the doctors confirmed the ALS diagnosis, I am reminded that we are to only live one day at a time. What God has for my life the next few years is certainly in his hands, as it has always been. My family and my friends have spoken to God on my behalf for this day. It is good to know that he is fully aware, and there are many others who are involved in God's work in and through my life. I am so blessed, and God is good to me. They set me up to return for therapy and follow-up. We stopped for barbecue and then hot chocolate on the way home. The journey is underway. He is such a positive person. And the reason why I begin to bring that up is, you know, even in our most difficult days, even when it seems like life is falling apart, even where we may have just a glimmer of hope, we can still stop and praise God. I don't know how you praise God. I've been in churches where I know some people, they praise God quietly, meditatively. They're prayerful and meditative. Other people are loud. I was at a concert the other day, and when they praised God, they were loud, and they got louder and louder and louder and louder. You know, some people do it different. Some people, I was in a church, and they would run. We did a concert a few years ago, not here, but we did a concert down in Columbus, and the Cathedral Quartet, that's an old-time group, they came, and they sang, and we had a guy that got so excited in the church service, he ran around the whole outside of it. He did a lap. And it was funny is because George Younts, we talked to him after, he's the leader of the group, we talked to him after, and George said, I figured if he did it once, he could do it again. And so they sang the same song, and he did it again. You know, some people are so excited they have to do something. Some people like to raise their hands. Have you ever been to a church that raised their hands? Okay, some people. And that's all of these that I've mentioned, being quiet, being loud, dancing, you know, raising your hands. Those are all biblical methods of raising your hands. How many of you don't mind raising your hands in church when it's something worthwhile raising your hands? Amen. Okay, good. How many of you, it doesn't matter what happens, I will never raise my hand in church. How many of you like that? Sorry, I got you to raise your hand in church, okay? Yeah. Okay, now listen, I'm not a hand raiser, and that's okay. What you do and how you praise God says more about you than it does anybody else. Some of us aren't that way. I just say this, as long as it doesn't deter from the worship of God, it's okay, but just be very, very careful about that. If you want to, I got this from Tim Hawkins, a comedian. If you want to learn how to raise your hands and you want to, but you don't know what to do, you know, you come in, people are doing it, this is what you do. Start off with your hands in your pockets. It's real easy to do. You start off with your hands in your pockets while they're singing the song. And then you do what is called the arm flap, okay, elbow flap. Just move it with the song, okay? And you can, you know, you're not doing much. Nobody sees it. It's all down here. And then what you do, you could do what's called carry the TV. You just go like this, okay? You're carrying the TV, okay? And the widescreen TV, all right? Hold my baby, okay? Hold my baby. Tighten the light bulbs. You got your hands up a little bit, okay? Tighten the light bulbs. You got this. Okay, and then you can begin to kind of raise your hands, and that's when you got to be careful. You got to raise your hands. What do you do when you raise your hands? Well, you might put one of them up and do a tomahawk. Okay, you might do giving Jesus a high five. Okay, you might do a high five like this. You hatchet. You know, however your school time. You know, you remember that? You do that. Okay, when you got your hand up, you can also add a heartburn. Okay, some people like to do that. Wash the windows. Okay. They raise their hand like that. They wash the windows. And then if you got your hands up, what you can actually do is you can do the big three, okay? You have Village People, Rocky, and Touchdown. And so, you know, if it's not for you, that's okay. Again, I'm not a hand raiser, but you look at the Bible, and they praise Jesus in many ways and in many circumstances. In Luke chapter 1, we find the story of Mary, who just was pregnant with God's son, Jesus, and she went to go meet her cousin Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, very, very old. Both of these situations could have been disastrous. I mean, Mary was pregnant. Her husband would not understand that she was still a virgin. This was a miracle. Would he stay with her? Would her family kick her out? What would the community say? That's a far-fetched reason for getting pregnant is virgin birth. That had never happened. Who's going to believe me? So she was in fear, her life, her hope. Elizabeth was very, very old. Even though she did want children all of her life, she figured she was way past age of childbearing, and she was 6 months with an elderly body trying to carry a baby. I'm sure she had some anxieties of what was going on, but the story of when they came was full of rejoicing and joy. And so if you want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, we're going to read the story of when Mary met Elizabeth, Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 56. And what we're going to do is we're going to watch the video that was produced, and they're going to actually read the scripture for us along with the narration. And so you can follow it along on the screen. You can follow along in your Bible. You can kind of do both. And so listen to this as Mary and Elizabeth met.
And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house.
All right, there's joy filled in that story. There was the joy of Elizabeth. That we're aware of, Elizabeth did not know that Mary was pregnant. But all of a sudden, she realized because of the baby that this is somebody special. She must be pregnant with the Christ child, and she realized what was going on. There was joy, and she blessed Mary, not because of Mary, but because of the baby that she had. She had joy, and there was also joy with the baby. The Bible says that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his conception. He was filled, and whenever there was close proximity between John the Baptist and Jesus, even though they were yet unborn, there was a joy. There was an emotion that overwhelmed him to the point, those of you ladies that have been pregnant, you know what it's like for a baby to leap, and especially at about 6 months, the baby just to be so excited, maybe doing somersaults, and she recognized what was going on. And just as a side note, just that experience lets us know that an unborn child has emotions. An unborn child has a response to stimuli that are outside. An unborn child is a person and should be honored. And just this past week, we had Sanctity of Life Week, and so many things were said in regards to that, and I could never add to that. But the scripture gives inspired confirmation that every child is precious in the sight of Jesus. And they can feel, if they can feel joy, they can feel sadness. If they can feel happiness, they can feel pain. And so we need to continue to pray just for our country, that we can continue to see progression in taking care of the unborn. But John the Baptist, from even before he saw the day of light, he was praising Jesus. And then we saw the praising of Mary. Mary, once she was with somebody else that really understood her journey, that confirmed what was going on. We don't know who Mary told. We don't know if this is the first person outside of God himself, outside of the angel Gabriel, that knew that she was going to have this baby. But as they had this initial conversation, she gave what has been known as the Magnificat. in Latin, it is the praising of God for what he has done. And if you notice, she is not praising God for who she is. She is praising God for the baby that is in her womb. She's praising God for what he has done for her. Her lowly estate, this handmaiden of who she is, and yet God has given her such a big blessing on such a simple girl. She's praising God for what he has already done for her, and she's also praising God for what he will do through this baby and what Jesus is going to eventually do. She talks about that the helpless and the hurting and the hungry are going to be taken care of. Jesus is going to be the Savior of the world, and she is praising God for him being the Savior of the world. And then I love how it ends. After it's all over, the Bible says that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. Again, the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of details. Did she stay until John the Baptist was born? More than likely not, because we find out in the next story section that she's not even mentioned. So she may have left just a little bit before John the Baptist was born, which would put her about 3 months pregnant, just beginning to show. So she was there for about 3 months. And could you imagine the conversations that happened about what these children were going to be, how they were going to interact, what John the Baptist was going to be, and who Jesus was going to be, and how John was going to, you know, introduce Jesus, and how he's going to be the forerunner. They had some great conversations and just confirmed between the two of them that God had used them in such a special way. More than likely, Elizabeth would not be able to see her son be the prophet that he was. But we all know that Mary followed Jesus all the way until the day he died and even beyond into the resurrection. So they had long conversations. But even in their really stressful, anxious times, they were able to praise God for some things. And some of the things that they praised God for are some of the things that we can praise God for. So here we go. Praise God for who he is. Just who he is. Circumstances are going to change. Situations are. Have you ever had an event that you didn't know it, that you could go beyond? And then you had a good night's sleep, and you had a meal, and you got up the next day, you say, you know what? I can get this. You know, circumstances change. Some of you right now are going through a season where everything seems to be okay. And some of you are going through some seasons right now where it seems like everything is falling apart. And in the midst of a changing environment of your life, just know this, God doesn't change. And when we begin to focus on who he is, it helps us. I love in the book of Hebrews, it talks about this changing world, and it kind of explains it this way. This is my paraphrase. This world is changing so that I can realize the things that don't change. You know, whenever there's an earthquake, you look for something that's not moving. And that's exactly what we do. We need something that's not moving, that's God. That's why God is called a rock in the Bible. He's a rock. Some things about God, I call them the omnis, because theologians use these omnis, omnipresent, omnipowerful, omniscient. God is all powerful. He not only has all power comes from him. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He knows everything, and not in a derogatory way, you know, like the know-it-all, but he does. He knows everything. He knows everything that could possibly be. He knows everything. He knows not only now, he knows our future. He knows everything. He's everywhere all at the same time. And not just geographically, not just he's here and he's in China, he can see everything that's going on. He sees all of time all at one time. He sees it all. And he never changes. He is the same. He is constant. He is dependable. He is faithful. And he is infinite. The one thing you can't do is you can't put God in a box, because he is way bigger than any box you could ever build for him. He is infinite, and he loves me, and he loves you, and that love will never go away. So sometimes it's good in our changing environment, when there's things that stress us out, we can just stop and say, God, thank you. Thank you. And I praise you for who you are. That's what the ladies did. It was all because Jesus was there. Jesus, God, God's Son was there. And they praised. The second thing we can do is we can praise God for what he has done. Praise God for what he has done. As we think back on our life and we think back on what God has done, there's some things he has done. For one thing, he made everything. You know what I like to do? I like to go for a walk in the morning, even on a cold, snowy day. And some of you like to run, and that's a good thing, to just walk and just look around. Even in the wintertime, and to see the beauty that God has made. Didn't God make just such a wonderfully beautiful world? And even the changes are really, and how it blends together. We were talking with somebody and how that we have to have the cold weather to be able to get the apples in the summertime. It's amazing. We have to have the cold weather to get rid of some of the bugs and the germs. And how God has made everything dependent on everything else. This is a very intricate world, yet it's a very simple world that you and I can live in. God created everything. And the Bible says he not only made it for himself, but he also made it for us to enjoy. All the different kinds of fruits and vegetables and you know, stuff that we can eat that we enjoy and we can see and we can have pleasure. God made all of that. And I also like to, you know, praise God for what he has done in saving my soul. Jesus died on a cross to pay for my sins. You know, we're all sinners. We're sinners by nature, but we're also sinners by choice. When we have a choice, sometimes we've chosen to do the wrong thing. And God wants so much for us to spend forever with him in heaven that he had Jesus die on a cross. How wonderful of a story just the crucifixion is. None of us would ever give one of our children for somebody else. But God did. And all we have to do is trust Jesus Christ as our own personal Lord and Savior, and he will forgive us of all of our sins. And not only just eliminate our sins, he will bring us into his family and make us part of his family, his forever family, so that we have that deep, close relationship with him. And I mentioned at the beginning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you would love to know how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me explain it as simply as I can. A, B, C. A, admit that you're a sinner. Now, for some of us, it's easier than others. For some people, it is very hard to say, I'm sorry. Have you ever watched Happy Days and the Fonz saying, I was wrong? he can't get it out. And some of us, it's very hard for us to admit that we were wrong. But first of all, you have to admit that you've done wrong to God. The second is a B, believe in Jesus. For some people, that's the hardest part because they've heard of Jesus, but to believe in him, to believe he was a real person, that he died on a cross, that he rose again, to believe in Jesus, and then C is to accept him as your personal Savior, to confess Jesus, to trust Jesus. That's where faith comes in. It doesn't take a lot of faith. The Bible, Jesus even said it takes just a grain of mustard seed, a little bit of faith. It's not the amount of faith you have, it's what you have your faith in. And have enough faith that you are willing to surrender your life to Jesus and confess him as your own personal Lord and Savior. Just to say just a simple prayer, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe in Jesus. And I trust him as my own personal Lord and Savior. I kind of liken it to getting married. You know, getting married is really simple. It's saying, I do, in front of the right person. Usually a preacher, justice of the peace, a judge. And once that's done, they sign their name, you sign your name, you're married. Now, you can prolong it. You can spend a lot of money on it. But it is really simple. And to trust Jesus is really, really simple. It is to surrender your life to Jesus. And I praise God for what he has done. Because that one decision that I have done and many of you in this room have done, that is a forever decision. No matter what happens to me in my life, I've got him forever. So we can praise God for what he has done. And then the third thing is we can praise God for each other. There was something that happened when Mary and Elizabeth got together. There was a family connection that was obvious, but there was a spiritual connection that they had, that when they got together, they praised God for what was going on. And one of the things that we can do is we can praise God for each other. The Christian friends, the godly friends that we have, the people that are encouraging us now and the people that have encouraged us in the past. And I think it's good to thank God, to think of all the people that have influenced us. You know, we're not just an individual person that makes our own decisions. We have been influenced by so many people. I think back on my parents, my mom and dad. I also think back on my grandpa. My grandfather was a great Christian, and he influenced me. And I also think of a man by the name of Joe Lewis. He was my pastor, and he was actually the one that led me to Christ. And I think about those people. And so to stop this morning, and that's kind of what I want you to do. I want you to think about this. I want you to stop and praise God. Praise God for who he is. Praise God for what he's done for you. And if you've never trusted Jesus, you can't even today. You can't even right now. And just to praise God for the people that have been in your life, the people that are in your life right now, that have helped you to become the person that you are right now, to thank God and praise God for that. You know, no matter how bad of a day it is, no matter whether you have been diagnosed with a very dreaded disease or a difficult physical ailment, no matter if somebody has given you a communication that has really destroyed your life and brought you down, no matter how much emotionally the things have just continually brought us down, there is something about stopping the digression, stopping the spiral down, and saying, you know what? This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to stop and thank him and praise him. There's a beautiful verse, I think it's Psalm 113:3. It says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name will be praised. God deserves our praise. Circumstances don't. Situations don't. Some people don't, but God does. And no matter what you're going through right now, just like Mary and Elizabeth, they look forward to what was happening. You can look forward to what was happening because you've got a great God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I want you to think about what you can praise God for today. See, regardless of what people tell you, you have control of your feelings. You have control of your thoughts. And if you want to choose to dwell on the negative and what's not going right and how bad your life has been going, you're free to do that. But I challenge you to just stop the cycle. And just think and praise God for who he is. Praise God for what he's done for you. All the good things he's done. And for the people in your life that have been that positive influence and people that still are. In a few moments, Barb's going to play through a song. And if you want to come and we invite people to come and pray if they want to, you're welcome to do that. But I just encourage you to just stop and praise God for what he's done in your life. Use this time as a prayer time for him. I'll be down in front if you want to talk with me. If you're interested in being baptized, we can take care of that, or we can do that tonight. But just take some time to praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. Thank you for who you are. Lord, we go back and forth. Lord, most of us, our Christian life is a roller coaster. Sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. It depends on what kind of mood we're in. We are so sorry that we're so inconsistent. But thank you that you are not like that. Your love for us has never wavered. You have always been there for us. In spite of the choices that we have made, you have been for us and not against us. And so I pray that we would just stop today and praise you for being in our life. And Father, if I just reminded, because it's such an important strategic decision, if there is somebody here that has not trusted you as their personal Savior, this would be a great time for them to do that, to just surrender their life and say, here I am, Lord. You'll take them if they'll take your son. So, Father, I pray that they would do that. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.